Let me ask you a very obvious question. You give me the very obvious answer. Who was the one person in history who gave more than anybody else has ever given?
Jesus
did, of course. Only Jesus, that's right. You know, Jesus gave more than anybody ever did. He gave to us. Well, you tell me. Tell me something that Jesus gave to us.
His life.
His life. Go ahead. Yeah, he gave us a great memory.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me something else Jesus gave us. Hope.
Love.
He gave us hope. Love. Jesus gave us a lot of things, didn't he? He gave, again, he did give his life. He even gave some things on this earth, didn't he? He fed people. He gave them food. He gave them healing. He gave them, I love that somebody said hope, and those kind of things. But there's one thing that Jesus did not give. He never gave it away. He still owns it. It's still his. He has no intention of ever giving it away. And it's called the church. The church is his. See, the church belongs to Jesus and only Jesus. You know, it's something that he is going to keep. In fact, here's what he said about it. He said, in the book of Matthew, he gave us this statement right here. He said, you help me finish it. He said, upon this rock I will build
my church.
Yeah, he didn't say a church. He didn't say the church even. He didn't even say, I'll build the pastor's church. Or your church. He said, no. He said, I'm going to build my church. Now, we are the church, but we don't own the church.
Right. Right?
We are the church, but we don't own the church. We love the church, but we don't own the church. We have thoughts and ideas about church, but we don't own the church.
Amen.
He does.
Right.
It's his church. And so we're supposed to manage the church, aren't we? Our leaders, he gave us leaders in order to manage the church and operate the church, but we don't own the church. And so only Jesus owns the church. Now, what does that mean to us? Well, what it means is that when Jesus went back to heaven, he entrusted it to us that we would do it his way.
Amen.
That we would take care of his church. That we would operate the church the way he said to operate it. That we would focus on the things that he said to focus on. Use the church the way he wanted it to be used. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He entrusted his legacy. You realize the church is Jesus' legacy. This period of time that we're in between the Old Testament and the end time events, we're in what's called the Age of Grace or the Church Age. You can call it a lot of things. But we have been given, we've been entrusted with something that Jesus said was really his, like it's his bride, actually, is what he called. He calls a lot of things. And he said, I've entrusted it to you, Ken. I need you to take care of my church. You know, I need you, Ann, to be looking after my church and do it the way that I intended it for it to be done. He says that to all of us, but especially those in leadership. And so, he gave us leaders in order to do that. And he gave leaders who were supposed to, please get this, he gave leaders to the church who were supposed to know what he wanted done. Right?
Yeah.
See, I'm the first one to admit, I don't deserve to be the pastor of this church. But God has put me in this position to pastor the church. He has chosen leaders in terms of deacons. If we don't learn what Jesus said, how he wanted it done, then how can we do it the way he wanted it done? And we become very, very bad stewards and managers of God's church. But it goes beyond that. Even though, those who sit in the congregation, it is your responsibility too to know what Jesus wanted so that you hold us accountable. So, listen, John, I love you, but if I ever start preaching heresy and you figure it out, you need to call me on that. We have a procedure for that. You get with Randy, the chairman of our deacon board, and you say, "Hey, I don't think the pastor's following the Bible very well," and he'll tell you get lost. But he'll say, "What do you know?" But seriously, that's your responsibility too. Now, please understand, I am not inviting you to do that. don't sit here and don't get online and say, "Okay, I'm going to find something," because you'll find something if you look hard enough. But the point is, we're all supposed to, if we're going to do it Jesus' way, because after all, he owns it, right?
Amen.
It's his church.
Amen.
And if we're going to do it his way, then we've got to know what his way is. So as I was thinking about, you know, I guess I asked the question, how have we done? You know, how has it, when I say we, I don't mean here at New Hope necessarily, although judgment must begin here. We want to police ourselves, because I promise you this world will. If we don't police ourselves and correct the wrongs that we're doing, if there are things that we find that we're doing wrong, we need to fix those before somebody walks in that door and says, hey, you know, this is why I don't go to church. This is why I don't believe in Jesus. This is why I don't. We need to, and again, there could be some wrong in that too, but my point is, we want to make sure that we're policing ourselves first. But I'm not talking about just New Hope. I'm talking about the church. How has the church done in 2,000 years? Jesus left us a plan, and we've talked about this much, but he left us a plan. And, you know, the first thing that mankind did, Christians did, was we changed it from his church to our church. Well, we're just being honest. This is not negative. We'll get very positive here in a little bit. But we've got to first recognize how it is. It went from being his church to our church. We even say that innocently today, don't we? Oh, you need to come to my church. Well, you just don't know my church. Wait a minute. Wait. Just built in that. That's not right. Because it's not my church. It's not your church. It's his church. So we went from being his church to my church. And so what that did was that went from being his agenda to my agenda. And the problem is people have a lot of different agendas, even Christians. So it went from his church to my church to then it became, you know, it kind of there came a time where it went from it became a Catholic church and Protestant church, right? And then the Protestants had some ideas too, and they had some ideas about the way things ought to be. And so it went from being the Protestant church to, you know, the Presbyterian church and the Methodist church and the this and that, and, you know, and all these different kinds we have, including Baptists. And then the Baptists all had their own agenda too, right? Different agendas, you know. And it went from being, you know, the Baptist church to being, you know, it went from being his church to my church to the Catholic church and the Protestant churches, and then to the Baptist church, and then it went to become, you know, the General Association of Regular Baptists and the American Association of Regular Baptists and Free Will Baptists and Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists and all those kind of things. And each one had its own agenda. So I asked the question, whatever happened to his church? What happened to his church? And because his church should have his agenda. You know, the thing is, Jesus actually knew this was going to happen. And he told us this was going to happen. And even through the Apostle Paul, who he entrusted with teaching the churches, the Apostle Paul tried to teach the churches about what was going to happen. And he said, here's what's going to happen. He said, Acts chapter 20, and notice what he said. He said, beware, therefore, to yourselves. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about you, be careful about you, church. Beware, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. See that right there? That's that legacy he entrusted to us. He said, I am not going to come back for a while. So I need you to manage my church. I need you to do church the right way. He said, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. He's talking to leaders here. Which he has purchased with his own blood. Amen. Now look, I spilled some blood in this building when we were remodeling. We cut ourselves a little bit, but we don't know what shedding blood is. Right. We have no idea what that means. But he gave his own blood for the church. You see that? Now, verse 29, here's what he said. He said, for this is what I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Grievous wolves shall enter. Now, that sounds like, you know, some influence trying to come in and corrupt the church and water down the gospel and doing different things. You know, we see that this is an influence from the outside, which we need to be careful of. We need to be watchful. The Bible tells us to be watchful and so on, not sparing the flock. But here's the part I wanted to show you. Verse 30. He said, also of your own selves, from within. Now, I think we look at that and we think, oh, that's just wicked people, evil people. He's talking about people who come in. And no, he already dealt with the wolves in sheep's clothing. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about people like me as a leader who get messed up here and do things that aren't the way Jesus said to do them. Maybe even with a good motive. Look, I used to preach a very hardcore, cultish view of legalism as a fundamental Baptist. Again, I'm not, you know, I'm going to throw out some names. Please don't think that I'm being negative about any other church. What any other church does is none of my business. None of my business. I'm only, this is our, how do we even say it now? I can't even, this is my church. Wait, sorry. But we've got to be careful, you know, because he said of your own selves, women arise from within. Speaking perverse things, that just means, you know, wrong things, things that are corrupt, to draw away disciples after them. And so he's talking about people who get the wrong idea, maybe the wrong motive, but maybe a right motive. But we have forgotten what Jesus said is important. And what Jesus said the church is supposed to be about. And he said, you've got to be careful of that. He said, this is what's going to happen. Then he said this in 1 Timothy. He didn't leave it at that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, he went on. He said, now the Spirit speaks plainly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving in to seducing spirits. What does that mean? That means something that sounds great. Seducing spirits. Well, that sounds good. That sounds right. What could be wrong with that? If you want to know what could go wrong, get on YouTube and type that in the heading. Just type it in. Check out any video that comes up under what could go wrong. It'll show you what could go wrong. This sounds right. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Now wait. What he's saying is, I left you with a legacy, I left you with a very simple plan, and when it goes a different direction, that is a doctrine of devils. I don't know about you, I don't want to do that. I don't want Jesus looking down from heaven and saying, that's your thought, not my thought. That's your concept, not my concept. That's your thing, that's your agenda, not my agenda, because that's a doctrine of a devil. Look, that seems pretty serious to me. I don't want to do that. And so we've got to know what Jesus' agenda was. Then he went on, you know, and so here we ask ourselves, okay, well, let's go on. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience. Talking about leaders who preach one thing and do something else. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron means they don't feel bad about it. Got a motive, you know. As long as I get enough people in the church to pay the bills and make sure my salary's good, I'll preach this or do that. And he said, that's what you're talking about. He said, you don't even feel bad about it. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Now, at this point, we're looking to say, man, that really sounds bad. I wonder what, if he gives any examples, how bad is it? How bad must it be to qualify as a doctrine of devil and something that he's speaking so strongly about? Well, let me show you a couple of examples that he used next. He followed up with this: forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. Now, you vegetarians, you need to pay attention here. Look, does this sound like anything we hear about from churches? I'm seeing a lot of, it's not hard to find a fish sandwich on a Friday these days. Now, look, please, and I am not being critical. I'm not. But how much clearer can that be? Am I right? That's pretty clear. Now look, this is not the only thing. There are lots of things. The point that he was making was even something so seemingly innocuous as that becomes a part of what you think church is about. He said, you'll let a couple of things like this, just these two examples, you'll let that become a major part of your church? Wait, that is a major part of your church, Jesus talking. That's not a major part of my church. Jesus said, I didn't give you that. That's not a part of the legacy I left you. I left you a pretty simple legacy. Can anybody tell me what it is? Love God, love your neighbor. Yeah, love God and love each other. He said, that's what he said. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. Book of John. New commandment I give unto you. Not an additional one, a new one. He said, love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second was just like it. He said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. He said, and on this hang all of the other commandments in the scriptures. Until you get that right, nothing else matters. And he said that was the intention all along. That's where God's heart was all along. So what is it that Jesus wants in his church? This is just an example of man's agenda versus Jesus' agenda. Do you see how, isn't that silly? Come on, talk to me. Doesn't that seem pretty ridiculous? in comparison to what Jesus said was supposed to be what the church was about? Now again, this is just what he followed that verse up. That's why I use these examples. He talked about a lot of stuff. I'm going to talk about a few things today, very plainly. So what is it that Jesus wants in his church? Well, he called the man Saul to become Paul, and he entrusted him with the education of the churches. So the book of Romans all the way through the book of Philemon gives all the letters to the churches that how we're supposed to do things and what the emphasis is supposed to be. And so we're going to look at a couple of those. So what was it that he said? Well, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's what he said the church really is supposed to be about. He said, "But if I delay long, that you may know how you should conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now watch what he says the church is supposed to be. The pillar and the ground of the what? Of the truth. He said, just tell the truth. Just focus on truth. Truth is what sets us
free.
Yeah, it's truth that sets us free. And that's what he was saying. He said, just focus on the truth. Because, you know, lift it up and support it. Because the truth is what sets us free. Let me make this statement. If church doesn't make you feel free, we're doing it wrong. I'll say it again. If church doesn't make us feel free, then we're doing it wrong. Because Jesus said, it's supposed to be about the truth. If you lift up the truth, that's going to free people. That's going to free people from their addictions. That's going to free people from the attacks on their marriage. That's going to free young people from some of the pressures that they face these days. That's going to give a free... Are we not trying to figure out what freedom means in America anymore? We don't even know what it means anymore, do we? It's a pretty confusing issue right now. What am I free to do? What's somebody free to do to me? You know, and I don't want to turn this into a political thing. Just be very, very careful about what you read, what you listen to. But freedom, he said, you're supposed to feel free. It's supposed to be freeing. It's supposed to give you freedom to serve God because you want to, not because you have to. It's supposed to give you the freedom to rear your family. Moms and dads, he wants to give you freedom to rear your families the way you think God wants you to do it. Not with some dominating force, including a church, telling you how to do it. That's your family. Those are your children. Actually, they're Jesus' children. They belong to him too. But we're managers of that. So the same thing with the church. So he said there's an agenda that I have. Now, I searched the words of Jesus and Paul this week because, again, I'm starting this series about only Jesus. And we want to do things, we're going to try to only do things the way Jesus wanted them done. That means we have to know what he wanted. And we have to be able to look at ourselves and say, personally, and also as a church, oh, I'm not really doing things the way Jesus wanted. This is not what Jesus said was the focus. So I searched, and I thought, you know, let's find out what Jesus said about some things that he wanted and what Paul had to say. And you know, what is the focus of the church supposed to be? But before I tell you what I found, can I tell you what I didn't find? Well, you're not answering, so I guess I can. Like anybody's going to say no. Let me just tell you some things I didn't find. You know what I didn't find Jesus say anything about was church business. Church business meetings. Now look, Jesus never dealt with that. Did he start the church? He said, well, Jesus really didn't talk about the church much. He didn't. I'm pretty sure we read a verse where he said, it's my church. He didn't say one time, I want you to have regular business meetings. He didn't say, listen, now make sure every month you keep everybody after church and have a business meeting because there's lots to talk about. No, there's not. There's not a lot to talk about. You know what there is to talk about? Lost people. Broken people. Hurting people. You don't have to have a meeting about that. Well, I think we need to have a committee about, you know, how to reach out to people. No, we don't. You are the committee. You're the committee. Everybody's the committee. Go out and find somebody who's lost and tell them about Jesus, but tell them about him. Don't tell them about your church. Tell them about him. Tell them about, this is what we're called to do. So, you know, I didn't find anything about business meetings, but can I ask you something? If you've been in church much of your life, isn't that become a big part of a lot of churches? Business. We have a wonderful deacon board here. Wonderful Deacon Board. But there are times where we have met, and I have every other meeting that's mine. And you know what we're not going to talk about during those meetings? Business. I don't care how much came in last month. I don't care how much money we spent last month. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I want to talk about how can we reach more people for Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. Amen. And that's what we do as a board every other month. That's what we're talking about. Because Jesus didn't talk about business meetings. You know what else Jesus didn't talk about? He didn't talk about buildings and furnishings. You won't find one thing that Jesus, the only time Jesus ever dealt with furniture or furnishings in a church. Yeah, he was kicking them over. He said, get this stuff out of my church. Now, that doesn't mean we need to clear everything out, but what he was saying was, I don't care about that. He said, I only care about that if you're trying to corrupt my church. Jesus doesn't care what kind of chairs we sit on. So neither should we. Pastor, it would just be so nice if we had pews. Well, first of all, no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Have you sat on a pew very long? I'm gonna get on Craigslist one of these days and buy one of those old pews. It just like hold three people. Yeah, wood, nothing, but, you know, and go sit right there. I'll preach the longest message you ever heard. Amen. You'll be glad to just keep patching up these chairs. By the way, these are comfortable chairs, aren't they? Yeah. And we know that because John goes to sleep almost every week in it. And so does Harold, is what I'm told. Jordan. Listen, he didn't say anything about buildings. But what is the focus of a lot of... If we're not careful, what could be our focus? Our building. Now we're going to put a roof on. We need to put a roof on our church. That's called taking care of it, being good stewards. You know, we try to keep... But we don't have any fancy things here. We're not going to be fancy. You know, we're not going to have the biggest and best children's play area and children. If somebody's coming in here looking for the best in an area for their kids, we're going to lose on that. But if that's what you're after, then you've got a different agenda than Jesus had. I think we ought to take our place for our children is clean. And we have security to protect them. And we have teachers that are trained. Our resident magician is downstairs. How many churches get that? Oh, I know. Some of you, magic, that's wrong. Jesus didn't say anything about that. But so we need to take care of all that. But that's not really what we're not going to lose. The only thing we're really going to win if we're going to try to compete with the world is how good-looking the pastor is. You're the one cackling down here. See, Jesus didn't say anything about buildings. You know, Jesus didn't say anything about music. Did you know that Jesus didn't tell us what kind of music to listen to? I know. Some of you are going, oh, here we go. Show me. Show me where Jesus talked about what kind of music we ought to be listening to. Say, well, I'm pretty sure the Bible says something about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It does. Can I show you the context? Let's go to Ephesians. Let me show you what the context of that is. He was. He said, "I want you to, you know," he said, "don't be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." When he's getting ready to talk about music, he's not even talking about church music. He's talking about what you ought to be doing instead of getting drunk. Who said that? Who said that? Thank you, Kathy. Kathy's a lush. Look, he said, don't get drunk with wine. He said, that's not what it's supposed to be all about. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he said this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So somebody can say, you know, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Somebody can say to me, you know, well, right there it says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you think you can parse that out and divide that and say, well, here's what it means and that. First of all, that's not true. But let me give you a couple of other reasons why this should not be an issue in church. why the what kind of music we sing should not be an issue. First of all, notice he said speaking to yourselves. So this verse isn't even talking about our congregational singing. It's talking about what you do in your home, what you do on your own, instead of getting drunk. Look, am I preaching the truth here? That's what it said, right? Well, of course you're going to agree with it. We all know where they're going after church. Look, he said, this is not what this is about. So, you know, the first thing he said was, he said, speaking to yourselves. It's not even about this, you know, the congregational singing. And the second thing is, you know, he's talking about what you do instead of putting yourselves into so many other things, instead of just feeding your flesh all the time. He said, you know, just something that speaks to you. So this should not be an issue in church. You know, so watch. I'm just going to be real plain with you. There are people who choose their church based on the music, not the message. There are people that I love, and they're wonderful, godly Christians. I admire, they're better Christians than I am. But they don't like the music here. Now, my thought was going back, here's the thing. See, it's about where our focus is. And our focus is on reaching the unchurched. Reaching the unchurched. Reaching the lost. With whatever is going to have the best effect to try to bring people in. Now, some of you don't like that I use the word churchy. But we have to be careful about being too churchy if that's going to be our focus. And so music is kind of one of the... See, I guess I just sort of expected that veteran Christians, strong, mature Christians, would sort of tolerate music they don't like to hear the right message. To be a part of reaching the lost. Not, I want what I want. Now look, I'm not mad. Please understand, I'm not mad. I'm just telling you the truth. He says, speak the truth. That is where some people are. It's like, you know what? This is what I want in my church. Okay. Okay. If you only want, for example, hymns, or you only want, look, there's some they want even more, you know, harder, you know, rock type stuff. That's fine. You can probably find a church for that. But is the message right? It's all about, and if it is, go, you know, God bless you. But see, I'm not trying to make people who already have a ticket to heaven feel as comfortable as they can feel. And you get everything that you want in church. We're trying to reach the unchurched. We're trying to bring people in and help them to feel comfortable and make church attractive to people that right now church is not attractive to. That doesn't mean we're going to, you know, we don't compromise doctrine. That's the whole point. You give truth. But you don't major on things that Jesus said it wasn't his focus. And he never said one thing about music. This was Paul writing this, and we've seen the context here. Can I show you the only thing Jesus actually ever said about music? Some of you are going to get real uncomfortable. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Here's the only thing Jesus said that I ever found about music. He said, we've made music for you, and you wouldn't dance. Amen. That's right. Wrestle with that one for a while. Well, now, Pastor, surely you don't think he means dancing there. Well, what does he mean? This is what he said. He said, you wouldn't dance when I made music for you. Look, and I'm not going to get into all that, even though David danced before the Lord and said God loved it. So, look, and we're not going to get crazy. So, those of you, some of you are going, hey, cage door's open, here we go. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not all the way open, Mike. But my point is, you know, this is, you know, Jesus said some things were important, and Jesus said some things weren't important. And he said they weren't important because he didn't deal with it. And he didn't tell Paul to deal with it. So why are we dealing with it? If it's not something that Jesus thought was a big deal and should be the focus, why do we think it should be the focus? That was one of those pin drop moments right there. So, you know, what else? And basically, so what that means is, if we add music, or we add, you know, how often we do the Lord's Supper, or we add, you know, the building and grounds, or how people dress, how you deal with that, aren't we adding our own agenda to his? That's adding our agenda, right? If I stand up here and tell you this is how you ought to live, this you should stop going to the movie theater. It's not my business if you go to the movie theater. But I used to preach that. Didn't I? You went anyway.
I did.
Stinking rebel.
Not me.
That's why you're so messed up. You never listened to anything.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Was that... Hold on. I don't know which generation that was. Was that mom or daughter or wife? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but they amen that. You're amen. So there we go. I'm so glad you all came today. Look, I didn't find Jesus ever or Paul ever taking a position on which version of the Bible we ought to use. You know why? Because there weren't any. He said, get the truth out there. Get the truth out there. Truth is what changes lives. Words don't change lives. Truth changes lives. Don't take liberties. Don't. He was far more concerned about people taking liberties and using the Word of God deceitfully to make it mean what we want it to mean, twist it and turn it. You know, you can do that. You can take a verse and you can take a word out and there's 15 definitions of it and you can pick the one that fits what. Like I've done all that before. When I was a second in command of a cult. You know, I know how to twist scripture. I can. You give me a position to take, and I'll bet you I could find some scripture that I could twist and make it say whatever you want it to say. And Jesus said that is handling the Word of God deceitfully, and that is not a part of my church. That's your agenda. That's your church. And your church doesn't have the promise that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Mine does. So if we do it His way, we get the promise of that. So, he never said anything about that. I didn't find him, let me last, and then I'm going to wrap this up. He said, I also didn't find any Old Testament law that Jesus endorsed except for love God, love your neighbor. I didn't see him endorse anything else. I didn't see him tell us that, you need to not eat this kind of thing, you need to not wear this kind of thing. I didn't see him bringing forward any kind of rules about how to dress. Now, again, I've preached all this. I didn't see him one time say, you know, when he was talking to the women, he never one time I heard him say, you're not dressed right to be in church. I didn't see that anywhere. Man, I sure knew how to preach that years ago. I knew, I had it down. Well, here's the verse, and here's what, and thou shalt not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Can I ask you something? What exactly, have you looked at any of the coloring books about the Old Testament? That's the only authority we have. We don't have any pictures. They sure look like they're wearing the same thing to me. So I'm not quite sure where that goes. You know, Paul did say that ladies ought to dress modestly, and I do believe that. I think we could use a little more of that. We could use a little more of that. Look, I'm not... Okay, I said I was going to tell the truth here. Do you know what tells the truth all the time? Two things. Small children and yoga pants. It's true. And may I say this? Sometimes it's not even about modesty. It's just about, ew. Are we not all... Okay, I'm sorry. Guess I stepped a little too far. Are we not all glad, though, that those are not men's fashion? Austin. Know what I'm saying? I've been picking on Mike too much. Robert. So look, and seriously, I could go on and on. There's all kinds of things that are not Jesus' agenda. You've been in church, if you've been in church much, or maybe if you haven't been in church, I almost guarantee you this. If you grew up in a church and you don't go anymore, if you've been a part of a church and you just decided, hey, look, something's not right, I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll bet you $1 million to be paid out $1 a year. Amen. It wasn't because of anything Jesus did. And it wasn't that there's any problem with his agenda, because you're not going to disagree with that. We're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. There's nobody who should not want the story of Jesus to be true. And that's what we're going to learn. What people are resisting in church is not Jesus or anything he said or anything he did or anything he wants us to do. What they're going to resist are the things that we have done to bring our own agenda in. That's what's keeping the world from coming to Christ. So, what did they have to say? What did Paul and Jesus both have to say about the church? Let's do this quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. It's real simple. Unto him be glory in the church. That's it. He said, make sure church glorifies Jesus. Priority number one, glorify him. Now, we glorify him with music. We glorify him with how we conduct ourselves and holy living and all those kind of things that we've talked about. But he said, make sure that you bring glory to Jesus Christ not just back in those days. Watch the rest of that verse. Let's not cheat it. By Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Today, just like it was then. So the things Jesus said back then, 2,000 years ago, he still wants us to do in the church. The things that Paul taught us in those books about how the church is supposed to be done still applies today. World without end. Amen. That's what he said. Let me give you the second thing. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, there's a good start right there. That'll fix a whole lot of problems right there. Husbands, but that's not the point of this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now watch verse 26. That he may sanctify and cleanse it. Now, please don't miss this. He is saying Jesus wants to sanctify and cleanse his church. Now, how many of you moms are okay with your child taking one bath for her life? You good with that, Mayor? You good with that, Christy? Your kids need like five a day. Jackson, man, I don't think Jackson can. Anyway, they need it all the time, right? We all take a shower every day, right? Oh, geez. We all take a shower every day, right? Dear God. That was the only opportunity some of you will ever have to say amen, right there. That's the only thing I'll ever say that you agree. Well, apparently you don't agree with that. So Jesus is wanting his church to always be cleansed. He wants to continually cleanse the church. And that's his job. He wants to continually fix the things that are wrong, tweak the things that need to be done, sanctify it, set it apart, use it. Because it's his church. It's his church. And he said so he could actually, in fact, look at verse number 27 and done. Last verse. I didn't put that in, did I? So here's what he said. He said that he may present it to himself. You see, Jesus isn't wanting to keep us clean so that we feel good about ourselves, although that's a nice benefit. He wants to clean the church and make the church right and keep the church the way he gave it because he's going to bring it back to himself. He doesn't want a dirty bride. He doesn't want a dirty bride. He wants a clean church, but he's the only one who can clean us up. The Holy Spirit needs to be telling us when we're wrong. Now, please understand, I don't know a whole lot of, we're going to change. We're going to continue, though, to always be open and asking ourselves, does our children's ministry point to Jesus? Do our greeters point to Jesus? Does my preaching point to Jesus? Does our music point to Jesus? If it's ever pointing somewhere else, say so. We need to fix that. The Holy Spirit needs to fix that in us. But that's the whole point of this, is that we always want to be making sure that we're pointing to him. New Hope is only responsible for New Hope. We're not responsible for any other church. This is not about railing on other churches, because there's a whole bunch of churches out there doing things way better than we are. There's churches out there that are doing a better job than we're doing. They have better pastors. They have better musicians, barely, but sometimes, once in a while. But look, so it doesn't matter what they're doing. But I'm just talking about us. New Hope is responsible for New Hope. But we are responsible. We are responsible to hold the legacy that Jesus gave to us, make sure that we are doing things His way. We're not responsible for all those other things that sometimes can distract us. And that should affect how often we attend church. That should affect, you know, personally speaking then, that should affect how we worship. That should affect how you worship. You shouldn't be embarrassed to worship. Well, it's just not me. This isn't your church either. It's not your church. It's His church. It should affect whether or not we serve. Find a place to get involved in the church. It should affect our giving. We are responsible for His agenda. You know, so I close with this. So when it comes then to how you feel about church, when you think about how you're feeling about church, you know, our guests, you know, when you're looking for, you know, this must be a hard thing to look for a church. It must be a very difficult thing. I would think it'd be very, very hard because you just don't know. But what is our agenda? Do we have an agenda? When you think, New Hope, when you think about church, when you come, are you coming with any of these things I've mentioned that's your priority? It's like, you know, I wish they would change this. I wish you know, this would happen. I wish we had this person in charge of this. And I wish, hey, worship team, do you sing with joy anything you're asked to sing? Do you lead with as much joy? And does it matter to you how often you get to lead? Or do you have an agenda? See, if you don't have an agenda, then it's just as big an honor to open that back door as it is to sing on the platform. It's just as big an honor to be a nursery worker, in fact, it's bigger in heaven, than to be a deacon, or the pastor for that matter. You know how this is going to work when we all get to heaven? If Jesus lines us all up according to how He feels about it, guess who's in front? The nursery workers that are changing the dirty diapers, that's who's in front. Guess who's in back? Who's in back is people like me who got all the attention during time on this earth. But those of you who are out here trying to reach the lost, you're trying to do what Jesus really wanted done. You're going to be up front. It's not going to be the person who put the most money in the offering plate. It's going to be the person who sacrificed the most. That might very well be Ann, living on a fixed income. I don't know. I just know that Jesus has an agenda, and we need to have His, and let go of every other agenda that there is. Anything else besides what He said was important, that we're going to learn in the next few weeks, that's the message then that we also need to get out there. Let's just get truth out, okay? Let's just get truth out.